And I trust everyone as well. I am too. Thank you. You know, I've heard it said that God never puts us in a situation that's beyond our ability. And I was thinking about that, and I don't believe that.
It's his ability.
Exactly. I think if we're relying on our own wiles to navigate through situations, that we're probably not walking in faith. We're striving. That continues to be a problem for the body of Christ and for the entire world, which we are also part of, unfortunately, I guess. But 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." Now, I think faith could be likened to revelation. And I think sight could be likened to imagination. So today I want to talk about the difference between revelation and imagination. See, we can imagine all sorts of things. And even when we're worshiping, you know, words of a beautiful song, we can imagine this, that, and the other thing, God on his throne or whatever. That's not necessarily revelation. I mean, I guess it's sweet, but it doesn't change us, you know, having mental images and things like that. As a matter of fact, watching myself, I've discovered that imagination gets me into a lot of trouble. So there's an amen there, I guess. You know, it's weird because I've got such a great mental imagery gift where I can go back decades and imagine a situation I was in, and it just causes the flesh to just roar. It's weird. There's such power in imagination. But it's not God's power. And we want God's power at work in us and through us. First Corinthians 2:16. Maybe we could turn there. That thing really is in the way. I'm just going to cut right to the part I want. We'll talk about this later. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I love the way Paul writes. "But we have the mind of Christ." And then if you go back a little bit to verse 9, it says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived or imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit." See the way he uses the word "but"? I love this. It's powerful. So I think those two parts there kind of sum up what we're talking about today. So, with that in mind, let's go over to Ephesians 1, and we'll look at Ephesians 1:15, and it says, oh, there's a lot there. Well, I'm going to pick it apart. Let's go to 17. "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And that's a really rich section. But I think the key to living in the mind of Christ is, first of all, we have to know him. And we've all met him. I don't know how well we know him. Right? I mean, you remember that "what would Jesus do" thing that was in the church? Can you predict what God's going to do ever? When you really know somebody, you get a pretty good read on what they're going to do in a situation, right? Like your spouse, for instance, if you have one of those. Sorry, dude. That little dude there, he doesn't have one. Trouble's ahead, buddy. So, you know, we want to know him and be able to know what he thinks about situations and events and people. In other words, to have his opinions about things. Also, we want to be able to hear what he's saying. Jesus said, I don't do anything that I don't see Father doing, and I don't say anything that I don't hear Father saying. I haven't met anybody who can claim that one. But that is our destiny, isn't it?
Yes.
So we claim that by faith. We may not be walking in it right now, but we claim it by faith in the name of Jesus. And then over in 3:20, he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. So, see, it's the realm of God is so much greater than our imagination. I think our imagination is just trouble. We want to walk in revelation. Well, part of that, I mean, there's a requirement there, and we have to surrender our mind. Our mind is pretty precious. What we think is part of our identity, you know? We have to give it up. Just when you think about this, refer to Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, our sense of importance, our need to be right, it's all got to be given up. Because that is imagination. That's the mind of the flesh. David touched on the scripture last week, 2 Corinthians 10, 5, about taking thoughts captive. And the vain imagination. So let's look over at Isaiah 65. I think that's going to be fun. What page is that anyhow? Oh, I'll tell you in a sec here. 784. Isaiah 65, 1 and 2. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here I am, or here am I, here am I. All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. We'll stop there. Now, there's one other one, and that's in 66, and that kind of goes along with it. It's verse 18. And I, because of their actions and their imaginations, am about to come and gather all nations and tongues, and they will come and see my glory. Actions and imaginations. See, the Lord tied the two of them right there. They're tied together. The work of the flesh and the mind of the flesh are tied together. What we really want is we want to experience the mind of Christ. And we need to continually be humbling ourselves. We can't do this walk. We can't do any part of it. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. If we want to really walk with a kingdom life, we have to be 100% dependent on Him to work it in us. And I think we're all pretty able. We can do a lot of stuff ourselves, and that gets us in trouble. Don't imagine that you can walk in the kingdom. Ask God to reveal it to you. Yes. Ask Him to work it in your heart, in your mind too. So one last deal is in Philippians 4. I think this is just a good thing for all of us to dwell in. You know, there's friction between us sometimes. Somebody does something that irritates somebody else. And, you know, here at Living Springs, somebody will go to David and complain about somebody else. It's got to stop. You know, David isn't the judge. Work it out. Pray about it. Go talk to the person directly. Don't complain. Okay, 4 verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Isn't that beautiful? If we're caught up with the quality of that, we're not going to get upset about anybody. We're going to be just enamored with God and who He is and what He's doing. That should be our focus. Thank you. Amen.